18. I'm sorry, chapter 18, page 37. This chapter is entitled as the Perfection of Renunciation. Translation by His Divine Grace, Sri Prabhupada. That which in the beginning may be just like poison, but at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. Please repeat after me. That which in the beginning
may
be just like poison,
but at the
end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the pursuit of self-realization, one has to follow many rules and regulations to control the mind and the senses, and to concentrate the mind on the self. All these procedures are very difficult, bitter like poison, but if one is successful in following the regulation and comes to the transcendental position, he begins to drink the real nectar and he enjoys life. Jatadagre Vishamiva Parinami Amritopamam Tatsukham Satvikam Proktam Atma Buddhi Prasadaya. So in this chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is the last chapter, 18th chapter, different aspects in different modes have been described. Actually, this chapter is describing about perfection of renunciation. But in order to come to the perfect platform of renunciation, one has to come to the mode of goodness. And in this way, different activities in different modes or different characteristics in different modes have been described. Jai Shushri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki, Jai Shushri Gaunitai Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Now, in this verse, different types of, in this verse, the satisfaction or happiness in the mode of goodness has been described. What is the happiness in the mode of goodness? What's the happiness in the mode of goodness like? Happiness in the mode of goodness is like poison in the beginning, but like nectar in the end. And the next verse will describe what the happiness in the mode of passion like, and then the one after will describe what is the happiness in the mode of ignorance. Actually, in this way we can see how different people display very, very distinctly, very clearly from their activities, by their activities, in which mode they are actually in. Like you can see that people, those who are in the mode of goodness, they derive happiness, the way they derive happiness apparently appears to be very difficult or very painful. But at the end it becomes satisfying. And not only satisfying, not only it gives them real happiness, but actually it elevates them to the transcendental position. And this happiness actually leads them to transcendental situation. Whereas Anyway, we can first discuss this particular shloka and then we'll briefly discuss about the happiness in the mode of passion and happiness in the mode of ignorance, which will give us a clear understanding. Like, this is actually what the life of a devotee, or the kind of happiness that a devotee derives. What is the life of a devotee like? First of all, the activities of a devotee is based on a permanent result. And what is that permanent result? That permanent result is to develop Krishna consciousness, develop one's relationship with Krishna. And in order to do that, a devotee in the beginning undergoes various kinds of difficulties. A devotee has to follow so many rules and regulations. The first rules and regulations that he follows are no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and no illicit sex. Now, apparently, it is a very difficult thing. Especially in today's world, practically everybody develops these bad habits, or at least some of these bad habits. Like practically everyone is a meat eater. Everyone is indulging in intoxication, in some form of intoxication or other. And to some extent everyone is involved in gambling. And to some extent everyone is also indulging in illicit sex. But as soon as one comes in contact with ISKCON or becomes a devotee of ISKCON or wants to become a devotee of ISKCON, he is told that he can't do this. And materialistic people generally think that the devotees are crazy. They don't do these things. They can't understand why they don't do this. You know, what their point, their arguments are, why shouldn't one eat meat? Why should one become vegetarian? Why should one not take intoxication? And so on and so forth. But the devotees know why. Because devotees have the higher understanding. Devotees know what the ultimate spiritual benefit is. Devotees know what is the ultimate goal of life is. And in order to achieve that highest goal of life, devotees voluntarily accept these principles. Devotees voluntarily accept these austerities. These are actually austerities. Because generally, everybody wants to indulge in these activities. When someone goes by the McDonald's, he thinks, it's so nice to have a hamburger. Or people are tempted to eat, especially when they have the habits of eating non-vegetarian food before. At least in the beginning he feels tempted. I remember once one Bengali man, he's a quite elderly person, a nice man, he came and joined the movement in Mayapur. And then one day Prabhupada found out that he went home. And Prabhupada said, he went to eat fish. So the temptations are so strong. Same thing with intoxication. Those who have become addicted to intoxication, it's very difficult for them to give up intoxication. So first thing one does in Krishna consciousness is accept voluntary austerities. Now austerities are difficult. It's like poison in the beginning. But although it is like poison in the beginning, but then what happens? At the end, the devotees experience real nectar. Although it is like poison in the beginning, but very soon, one feels how good it is. For example, one is addicted to intoxication and he doesn't take intoxication after joining this one. Although he feels
a great desire, but he controls his senses. He says, no more intoxication. And then, very soon he begins to feel how much better he feels. Because people, those who take intoxication, they suffer very much. I'm sure everybody, at least theoretically, knows the result of intoxication. When one takes intoxication, first he gets intoxicated and then he physically suffers. Like when one takes alcohol, he gets drunk and then he gets a hangover. And hangover means physical difficulty. It feels terribly physical. Similarly, all these so-called enjoyment ultimately leads to suffering. Meat eating, one may not realize that the bad effects of meat eating, but gradually one begins to realize the bad effect. Like when one gets cancer of colon, cancers of the intestine, which is very common. Actually, clinically it has been accepted that colonic cancer is caused by meat eating. Now, no matter how much one likes to eat meat, but when one gets cancer due to eating meat, how does it feel? It suffers. So that is what passion and ignorance is. Anyway, we are now discussing about goodness. The devotees don't do or don't indulge in these activities because the devotees have the higher knowledge. And knowledge means mode of goodness. When one acts in knowledge, that is the mode of goodness. And when one acts in the mode of goodness, then the activities in the beginning are difficult. Like a devotee in the mode of goodness, he voluntarily accepts the life of a celibacy, life of a celibate. Now, in the beginning it may be very difficult, or it may taste like poison. Poison means it's difficult. But then he experiences the joy. The celibacy automatically leads him to a life of full awareness. When one observes celibacy, his consciousness becomes awakened. Actually, celibacy is very closely connected, or rather due to celibacy, actually one develops all these good qualities. His memory becomes strong, his will becomes strong, his character becomes upright, his intelligence becomes sharp. So in this way, the life that devotees are leading, or a person in the mode of goodness is leading, although in the beginning it may appear to be difficult, it may appear to be bitter as poison, but ultimately it gives him happiness, real satisfaction. And also it has been pointed out, which awakens one to self-realization. As I mentioned, acting in the mode of goodness means acting in knowledge. And this knowledge is knowledge about the spiritual reality. So following or acting in the mode of goodness, one becomes awakened, one becomes awakened in the spiritual realization. And then, maybe I'll just cover this next two verses also. The next verse is saying, text 38, Vishayendriya Sangyogad Jattad Agre Amritopamam Poriname Visham Eva Tat Sukham Rajasam Nitam. That happiness which is derived from contact of the senses with their objects, and which appears like nectar at first, but poison at the end, is said to be of the nature of passion. So now, what is the mode of passion? Happiness in the mode of passion? That happiness which is derived from contact of the senses with their objects, and which appears like nectar at first, but poison at the end, is said to be of the nature of passion. Now here we can see passion is just opposite to the mode of goodness. The mode of happiness derived out of in the mode of goodness is like, it's like poison in the beginning but nectar at the end. But in the mode of passion, it is like nectar at the beginning but poison, like poison at the end. And we can consider, like, first thing that we can consider is like the intoxication. People take intoxication because they think that this is nectar. Sometimes they even call that this is nectar. And it appears to be like nectar in the beginning, but like poison at the end. Like intoxication, intoxicants are actually poison. The word intoxicant literally means poison. Toxin means what? You heard, are you familiar with the expression toxic gas? What does it mean?
Poisonous gas.
Poisonous gas. So now what does intoxication mean? Taking poison. So all these stuffs, starting from cigarette and marijuana, alcohol, LSD, they are all actually poison, but people are thinking that they are nectar. When in the mid-60s, the hippie culture started, when they started to take the LSD, they used to think that this was nectar. They used to take the intoxication thinking that it was like, it was nectar. So it's a clear indication of the mode of passion. So they take the intoxicants thinking that it is nectar. And why it is nectarian? Because it gives them some sensual pleasure. That's what it said here, that due to the contact of the senses, derived from the contact of the senses with their objects. The happiness that is derived from the contact of the senses with their objects. So all these so-called happiness in the mode of passion is like nectar in the beginning but poison at the end. And then in the mode of ignorance, jadagre chanu bandhe cha, oh, let me read the purport. A young man and a woman meet, and the senses drive the young man to see her, to touch her, and to have sexual intercourse. In the beginning, this may be very pleasing to the senses, but at the end, or after some time, it becomes just like poison. They are separated, or there is divorce, there is lamentation, there is sorrow, etc. Such happiness is always in the mode of passion. Happiness derived from a combination of the senses and the sense objects is always a cause of distress and should be avoided by all means. So Prabhupada gives a very perfect example of the mode of happiness in the mode of passion. And that is the perfect example of trying to derive happiness in the mode of passion is man-woman relationship. In the beginning, they become attracted to each other. The man becomes attracted to the beauty of the girl, and then he wants to get her.
And then when he gets her, and then he tries to enjoy her. But then at the end, that enjoyment turns to be like poison. Prabhupada is saying that often it ends in bitter quarrel, in separation, divorce, sometimes even murder. Like there has been so many murders just based on the so-called love, due to so-called love, which is actually lust. Lust is passion. Actually, so many wars in the world had been fought for a woman. Like the famous Greek epic, or that war that was fought, the Trojan War, the War of Troy, was fought just for one girl, Helen. And there are so many such examples. So these are all very passionate people. These so-called warriors or kshatriyas, they're passionate. And even we can see that the battle of Kurukshetra was fought actually for Draupadi. Duryodhan and Kauravas were very envious because of Draupadi. She was so beautiful. They wanted her. And they, of course, along with that, they wanted the kingdom and all. So, nowadays, of course, people have become so much in the mode of ignorance that we don't see so many passionate heroes anymore. The mode of passion also is gone. Like they are, what to speak of losing the mode of goodness, they even have lost the mode of passion. People are mostly in the mode of ignorance. Then ignorance is jadagre chanu bandhe cha sukham mohanam atmanah nidra lasya pramadottham tat tamasam udahitam. And that happiness which is blind to self-realization, which is delusion from beginning to end, and which arises from sleep, laziness, and illusion, is said to be in the nature of ignorance. So actually, the happiness derived out of intoxication is in the mode of ignorance. One who takes pleasure in laziness and in sleep, because intoxication, what does it do? It makes one lose his consciousness. When one takes, why people like to take intoxicants? Because they want to lose their consciousness. They become lazy. Like they, a person in a mode of passion, he will go out and do things and derive pleasure. But a person in a mode of goodness, he will just sit down and take some intoxication, and in his mind he will try to derive pleasure. So that's what happens when people take these heavy intoxicants, especially what they are indulging in nowadays. Anyway, let me read the purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who takes pleasure in laziness and in sleep is certainly in the mode of darkness, ignorance. And one who has no idea how to act and how not to act is also in the mode of ignorance. For a person in the mode of ignorance, everything is illusion. There is no happiness either in the beginning or at the end. For the person in the mode of passion, there might be some kind of ephemeral happiness in the beginning and at the end distress. But for the person in the mode of ignorance, there is only distress both in the beginning and at the end. (Clears throat) So it becomes very obvious when we see the drug addicts. One day, last time I was here, somebody showed me the area where all the drug addicts hang around in Zurich. And I was saying, these people, they're suffering so much. Actually, everyone is suffering, but their suffering is so obvious. They're continuously suffering. They don't have any happiness. And that's the mode of ignorance. They think that they're going to derive some joy. But there is no joy, no enjoyment whatsoever. So in this way, Bhagavad Gita is giving us the clear understanding how to act, how to eat, and how to guide our lives for the ultimate benefit of our lives. When one leads his life according to the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, or to be more precise, when one leads his life according to the instruction of Srila Prabhupada, then his life is going to become joyful. There's no doubt about that. Because Srila Prabhupada is situated in knowledge, and Srila Prabhupada created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness to give, to facilitate people, sincere people, to make spiritual advancement. So when we take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet and act according to his instruction, we naturally become situated in real knowledge, and we make and we progress towards real enjoyment. And ultimately, how does one derive his enjoyment? One derives his enjoyment by just surrendering himself to Krishna, by serving Krishna, by becoming a pure devotee of Krishna. The more we become attached to Krishna, the more more joy we will experience. Although devotee doesn't want to enjoy, devotee simply wants to give enjoyment to Krishna, pleasure to Krishna. But the wonderful result of devotional service is that although a devotee does not want enjoyment, he automatically experiences that enjoyment. For a devotee to desire for enjoyment is completely unthinkable. His desire is simply to give pleasure to Krishna. But when he gives pleasure to Krishna, then he automatically enjoys. And in this way, he develops greater attachment to Krishna. He becomes more inspired to render more service to Krishna, try to give more pleasure to Krishna. So in this way we can see that a devotee doesn't want things for himself, but he automatically gets it. The example can be given like a servant of a very wealthy person. A very dedicated servant, I mean, if we can think of an ideal servant like that, an ideal servant who really loves his master. And the master is a very rich man. Then, although the servant doesn't want anything from the master, he simply wants to please the master. He loves his master so much that he simply wants to serve the master. But the master reciprocates by giving everything to him. He gives him money, he gives him all other facilities. Similarly, a devotee who simply wants to serve Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of his genuine love for him, then Krishna also reciprocates very wonderfully. And how does Krishna reciprocate? Krishna actually reciprocates by giving him ananda, or real joy, spiritual joy, from within his heart. A devotee serves Krishna without expecting anything, but Krishna fills his heart with joy. So that is how the reciprocation takes place. And in this way, devotee becomes more and more detached. Devotee sees that actually there is no enjoyment outside, but by serving Krishna, he experiences the joy inside, within himself. And that's how he actually becomes more and more detached from the external nature. That is how a devotee actually makes spiritual advancement. And that is what is called Krishna's mercy. Krishna actually fills his heart with so much spiritual joy, spiritual bliss, that a devotee doesn't feel any need to look for enjoyment outside. And that is what everyone is actually hankering for. Everyone is looking for that ananda. But unfortunately, they're searching for that ananda outside. They're thinking that they're going to get this joy out of sex life, out of intoxication, out of all kinds of sinful activities. But they're not. But that ananda, that bliss, the English, the closest word that can, or the English word that can be, that can somehow describe this expression ananda, is bliss. But not just bliss, because bliss also is not really spiritual. Therefore, Prabhupada is
to use the expression transcendental bliss, spiritual bliss. So everyone is actually searching for the spiritual bliss. But unfortunately, they are searching for the spiritual bliss outside. Outside means in the world of his senses. The world that he experiences with his senses, he wants to experience, or he wants to get that bliss in that world of senses through his sense gratification. But it is not there. But then he comes across Srila Prabhupada's book, meets the devotees, and one finds out that actually this bliss is not available outside in the world of senses. It is available only in the world of Krishna, in the spiritual world. And that world is not without, but that world is within. And then he is trained how to go within. Actually, whatever we are learning in ISKCON by following the Bidhi Bhakti or devotion, by practicing devotional service, is how to go within. And the best way to go within is by rendering service, loving devotional service to Krishna. Which means acting to give pleasure to Krishna. So a devotee does that. He tries to give pleasure to Krishna. Whatever he does it for Krishna. He doesn't want any external result. He doesn't want any sense gratification. He doesn't want anything for himself. He simply wants to give pleasure to Krishna. And he knows that although Krishna is all-pervading, although Krishna is everywhere, but Krishna is there within his heart. Krishna is there in the temples, in the deities.
And in this way he tries to give, tries to serve Krishna. Serving Krishna's deities or serving Krishna within his heart or serving Krishna in the hearts of other living entities. And he knows Krishna becomes very pleased when he carries the message of Krishna to innocent or ignorant people who do not know Krishna. He preaches to people, gives them Krishna consciousness with the understanding that Krishna is sitting in the heart of those people. And Krishna sitting in the heart is very pleased when he goes and preaches to them. He tells the people, please become a devotee. And the person who was in ignorance about Krishna, but Krishna is still sitting in the heart, Krishna is listening when he is preaching to the person. And Krishna becomes very pleased. That, this devotee of mine is trying so hard to convert, to enliven this particular spirit soul in Krishna consciousness. That means to come close to me. So in this way, a devotee, whatever he does it with the understanding that his activities are simply meant for pleasing Krishna. Whatever he does, he simply wants to please Krishna, and he doesn't have any other motivation. But although he doesn't want anything, but Krishna fills his heart with transcendental bliss. And this transcendental bliss has two side effects, or it carries two side effects along with it. Now what are those two side effects? Those two side effects are knowledge and renunciation. When one experiences that Krishna consciousness or joy from within, along with the joy comes knowledge. Knowledge about Krishna, knowledge about the spiritual nature. He receives the transcendental knowledge or absolute knowledge. And it also can automatically produces renunciation in his heart. He becomes detached from material attention. So the sign of this transcendental joy that one experiences out of his Krishna consciousness is in knowledge and detachment. Jnana vairagya yuktaya or bhakti pareshani bhava viraktir annatra. When one develops attachment to Krishna, then he becomes, as one develops his devotional attachment to Krishna, he develops virakti, means detachment. He becomes disgusted with this material world. And it's also been described that this devotional service, pure devotional service, is jnana vairagya yuktaya. It is linked, or it is already yukta, it is associated, or it is manifested along with knowledge and renunciation. So in this way, just by following Srila Prabhupada's instruction, we can very easily experience this transcendental joy that everyone is hankering for. And by following Srila Prabhupada's instruction, one can make his life successful very easily. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
And you explained that everybody is looking for happiness and honor. And different leaders, devotees in this kind of devotion, that they know how to derive it and they know about the process that some are chanting. And what is it that still they know it and they try, but still they do not take 100%, any time, not 100% of this advantage.
The reason is his bad habits. You see, the habits that he has developed for so many years, so for so many lifetimes, it is difficult to give up. That's why one does not become a pure devotee overnight. Because he is not able to give up the bad habits that he developed, that is, the habits for sense gratification. But it doesn't matter. Devotional service is so powerful that if one continues to practice it, then he will become free from those bad habits. And just like when one suffers from a very serious disease, if the disease is not very strong, as soon as the medicine is given, he becomes cured, right, very quickly. But in some cases, when the disease is very strong, right, it takes a long time. But if the medicine is right, then by taking the medicine, one will become free. One will become cured from his disease. Therefore, the important thing is to just carry on continuing and never to give up. Never to give up. That's why Prabhupada was so emphatic about the point that no matter whatever happens, don't leave ISKCON. Because if we leave ISKCON, that means we are stopping the treatment. But if we stay in ISKCON, then our treatment will continue and will become purified. It doesn't matter if we don't become pure devotees overnight. But we must stay in ISKCON. Then someday we will become pure devotees. Once a devotee asked, one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada that Prabhupada told that all the devotees in ISKCON are pure devotees. Then someone asked Prabhupada, the Prabhupada, how is it possible? Like, we don't see that these devotees are pure devotees. I mean, they have so many anarthas and they are doing so many unwanted things. Then Prabhupada said, no, it's like a green mango and a ripe mango. Now, if the green mango is in the tree, right, if it stays in the tree, then in due course of time the green mango will become ripe. Today it may be green, but if it remains in the tree, it will become ripe. But if the mango falls out of the tree, then it can't become ripe. So we simply have to remain in the tree of ISKCON. Then someday we'll become pure devotees, and there's no doubt about that. Well, sugar is not intoxicant in that sense. Prabhupada didn't say no sugar. On the other hand, there's a saying that Brahmana Priya Modakam. The Brahmanas like sweets. Brahmanas are very fond of sweets. People in the mode of goodness generally are fond of sweets. Therefore, it's seen that when one becomes a devotee, in the beginning they like sweets very much. But then when they transcend the mode of goodness and become situated in the mode of pure goodness, then they develop the taste for salty things.
Prabhupada also used to serve, he used to make these gulabs. When Prabhupada was preaching in America, in 26 Second Avenue, when Prabhupada was in 26 Second Avenue, first temple when he made, like on the passage, there was a jar. Prabhupada used to keep a big jar full of gulab jamuns. And that he used to make them and just keep them. And whoever was feeling hungry or wanting, he used to stay there. So Prabhupada knew that these drug addicts, I mean, they know they need some sort of nectar to give up the taste for the intoxication. So he gave them a lot of sweets. And there was a slogan, that is, those gulabs are called ISKCON bullets. Yeah. And the slogan was, a bullet a day keeps Maya away. Hare Krishna, Jai Shri Prabhupada.